What is good, everybody? You're listening to another episode of the BLR. I'm Andre Dunan, and I'm here with George Polo.
What's up, bro? How's your weekend in New York?
And it was a freaking marathon, but it was a solid trip, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, as far as what happened the last, not this past weekend, things happened. I mean, obviously the Heisman and then.
Yeah, which weekend, was also in New York City this weekend.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
You were there for the whole.
I got everything going over there.
Yeah. The weekend before that, man, dude, like the whole UCF championship game, the American championship game for that conference was insane.
Insane.
The whole Jalen Hurts. You know, him coming back in and saving that game for Bama. Like, dude, that's crazy, bro. Like, you know, you could almost compare that to, like, the Alex Smith injury in the sense where it was, like, how crazy similar it was to, like, Joe Theismann. It seems like it's some sort of, like, destiny type thing.
Yeah.
Dude, like, against Georgia last year.
I was about to say, there's a video, I don't know if you saw it, of, like, last 5 years of Georgia losses that they've had. The University of Georgia, they've had the Auburn game, the Tennessee game where they lost on the Hail Mary. The Auburn game was the one where it went off the helmet and landed in the guy's hands. Then they had last year against Bama where they lost on a last second 4th and 14 and like in overtime to lose, and then they lose like that again.
What I was just talking about was more like, dude, national championship, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback that had been leading them the past two seasons. He gets pulled for Tua, and Tua saves the game for them. And then, like, dude, SEC championship rematch of that game. Georgia's dominating the whole entire game. Jalen Hurts comes in there and, dude, two touchdowns, played well, looked better as a passer, which was his whole thing. Like, everyone knew Jalen Hurts was not a polished passer, you know, even those 2 years that he was running the show. But, like, dude, it's like almost like if it was meant to be. And like you,
no, it's such a like. I mean, I don't know what other word I guess sounds better, but like a, you know, like those Cinderella stories, like where like it's like a magical moment in like sports where like, you know, your dude. Like,
that's what it was. It was awesome.
Your guy that was your guy before comes back and shows that he's still your guy.
It was
the biggest stage.
What
so
an
far.
Incredible weekend of college football that was. I mean, UCF down 17 twice in that American championship game against Memphis. They come back to win, and, you know, they're going crazy at the bounce house. And then you see they put the camera on Mackenzie Milton's mom, and she's FaceTiming with him. It's like, dude, just a bunch of great stories.
Yeah, those are the moments in sports that like you're like, damn, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jalen Hurts, that's why he stayed.
Exactly, because, I mean, that was one of the biggest questions this whole year. And in that moment alone just shows how much.
That proved it. And look, man. In a way, it helped.
Even Nick Saban got sentimental.
Jalen Hurts is not in a Kelly Bryant situation to where this is his last year of eligibility coming up. This season actually helped him in terms of getting recruited, I think, for when he wants to transfer. First of all, the mentality. Yeah. He's good on the mentality point of things. Like that whole spectrum of things.
Yeah,
and then, dude, he was able to play in a lot of fourth quarters. He had ankle surgery at some point in the game, so he missed out a little bit on a few games where he could have gotten some time. But like SEC championship, biggest stage,
you know, hardest game they've played so far this year.
Obviously, showed his dual threat ability, and in terms of being a passer, looked a lot more polished. So this helped him.
Tua did not look good in that game. Before he got, I know he was hurt and
had him bottled up a little bit.
But he hit before the injury started really happening, he wasn't looking good. And I mean, Jalen looked very dominant in his two. What was it? How many possessions did he have? Like,
I don't remember.
Like 3 or 4, I think, total possessions. Yeah. He really didn't have that much playing time, but he did his thing.
Yeah, and then I mean, he stayed. He made the right decision, obviously, in terms of transferring.
And then you got Kelly Bryant.
The other guy.
Yeah, Kelly Bryant on the
other. Kelly Bryant. Going to Missouri. Hey, look, Chad Morris, who was the guy who I'm pretty sure recruited him at Clemson, who's a coach at Arkansas, didn't get him. I wouldn't have liked to see him at Arkansas because that program is in major rebuild form.
Yeah,
right
he would have been. He would have been lost in there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got one more year of eligibility. He's going with Dooley at Missouri. I would have liked to see him at Auburn, but Auburn's kind of in a weird situation.
What's your opinion on where you think he should have gone and what you think would have been a better fit for him? Because I honestly don't think the Missouri fit was the right pick.
So I think it was going to come down to Arkansas just because of Chad Morris. And then Auburn and Missouri. And then it looked like it was really... I couldn't see him going to Arkansas. Like I said, the program's just not at the right place to welcome a graduate transfer who mm-hmm. has played at a high level and is clearly going somewhere to use his last year of eligibility to make it a point to show that he can actually make a career out of playing at the quarterback position. Yeah. I did not see him going to Arkansas. But the whole thing, the whole week, was that it was in the picture. So it was really, for me, down to Auburn and Missouri. Between those two, look.
Because essentially those were the only schools that were really interested in him.
He narrowed it down to those. Because remember, he took the unofficial visit to Miami, well, and then he denied taking his official visit to Miami. Stuff like that. So we narrowed it down. As far as his expertise, areas of expertise as a quarterback, Auburn, to me, would have been an incredible fit. And then there was, like, a bunch of reports saying that he was at a bar there during his official visit, and multiple people heard him say, I mean, this is, again,
right,
just a bunch of...
Who knows what.
Yeah, people were saying that he was saying that he loved it there. So I thought lock Auburn because the style of offense, it complements
the program that they
running
have
running quarterbacks, and he's going to be able to throw it as well under Malzahn. So he ended up picking Missouri. Missouri has Drew Lock, who is the quarterback, who was the quarterback the past few years there. He threw for 40 touchdowns last year and I think 25 this year. Kind of a different offense because they have a new coach. But it's a lot more passing oriented. Yeah. And I think he made this decision based on, hey, I know I could play at both because Drew Lock is leaving to the draft. So they're going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
He clearly made the decision to go to the place where it's more pass oriented to help him, you know, prove to, like, let's be real with it, NFL organizations that he could be a passer.
Yeah.
Because the guy before him is going...
This is not a winning now thing. This is like, I want to get into the NFL, and what's going to help? What's my best chance of getting there?
This is, you know, I kind of got screwed at Clemson, and by no means is he wrong to have transferred. If I was in the same situation, I would have done the same exact thing.
100%.
He's using this year of eligibility to clearly prove that he is a capable passer.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's why Missouri makes sense. And okay. Dooley, you know, kind of changed things up with Drew Lock. Not as, like, kind of a run-and-shoot type offense as they were last year where he threw 41 touchdowns. But it's a lot more passing-oriented than Auburn. So that's why he chose Missouri. And I think it is a good fit because – how they're looking for a quarterback, boom, right there. He should be the guy. Here's what I didn't like about it, or how I didn't like about what Kelly Bryant, how he went about it.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, dude. Oh, first of all, his photo shoot at Missouri was just like, all right, bro, all right.
Like, he knew he had everyone watching him, bro, so he took this time to just become hype.
This is my whole thing. I get the whole getting with the times. Oh, you got to get with the times. Like, these are new times. Yeah. I get that now there's photo shoots and recruiting visits and that they get fully dressed up and, you know, this is this and that. And look, okay, I get it. Social media is a big thing. These kids want to take pictures in the uniforms and post it. And you got to give them that opportunity because if you don't, another program will.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what they want, that's what you got to give them.
Exactly. But, hey, man. I have not been a fan at all of these Bleacher Report commitment videos where they have these 5-star high school kids, 4-star high school kids always making his decision, and it's like a Walking Dead themed video where he's like running through the forest and he picks a hat and oh, I'm going to Auburn. Like, dude, I hate that shit.
Yeah, I feel you.
No, seriously. Like, these kids, especially now in this day and age, have been put on such a pedestal.
I think the whole point of it is like you said, I think it's just something like the school provides more than anything. I think it's like they want to hype up the school too.
Yeah, you put these kids on a pedestal already.
Because like you think about all these recruits, bro, and they're gonna be like, bro, that's such a dope video.
No. This is what I'm getting into. It's the fact that they're put on a pedestal already. And look, man, it is known that the louder you are, you know, it just, like, it comes back to bite you, bro. Like, yeah. The people who are just, people who want to make a big scene, like, hey, dude, Kelly Bryant, I'm all for you transferring.
Yeah. Like, but you don't have to make a bigger deal than it needs to be. Through your experience
at Clemson, you were humbled. You were kind of knocked off, you know, what your position was compared to being the starter for Clemson last year and going to the playoff and all that. Like, the whole thing is to stay as quiet as possible because as of right now, you're nowhere. You got one more shot, like, in terms of eligibility, being a college quarterback.
Yeah, he still has, you know, if he wants to go play in the NFL, he's still got so much to prove, especially that the fact that he lost his starting job.
Like, in no way is this the Jalen Hurts situation where he's like, all right, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have to transfer this year. I might lose a year, but I still got some years left.
Yeah.
Or a year, or whatever he's got left, where he's still got time. Kelly Bryant, you don't have time, bro.
He doesn't have time, yeah.
So, I mean,
it's now or never.
I don't know. I just feel like history proves itself time and time again when people are louder.
It doesn't end up working in their favor.
Yeah, and, you know, you could be loud, like, you'd be outspoken and stuff, but like, dude, video.
I mean, dude, you just gotta be able to back up your talk. It's like with anything.
It's just crazy to me. Like, for an example, I think I brought this up a little earlier, but whatever. Like, dude, LSU against Bama week.
Uh-huh.
Like, College game day was in Baton Rouge. Like, the whole world was going to be watching because this was supposed to be the different LSU-Bama, turned out being one of the worst in the last decade.
Yeah.
But, like, you look at things like LSU's football Twitter. Dude, all the dramatic videos, all the graphics made for the game. Oh, they're coming into Death Valley. And the super dramatic. And it's sick as an outsider.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's very loud. Then you look at Bama's Twitter. Silent. You look at Greedy Williams and a bunch of these LSU players on Twitter. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, smoke.
Yeah, they get distracted.
And then
it's a distraction.
Bama, yo, you don't hear much about what the Bama players are saying. Dude, they come out and they whoop their ass.
Yeah.
It's almost like LSU was asking for this.
I mean, dude. We've seen it before with coaches and why they decide to choose not to allow their players to use social media. I don't think Saban has a say in that, but I think he also has shown a winning recipe at Alabama, and it shows in situations like that where you're not going to be a guy on Twitter blowing off noise and being super loud, and then guess what? You lose by 40 points. I mean, you just look like an idiot at that point.
Yeah, I feel like people just kind of bring a certain kind of, like, karma wave towards them in terms of being, you know, humbled in situations like that. And it's attracted by things.
Yeah.
Like the strength of a man. Dude, you're transferring. You're transferring, bro. You're not going off to Iraq.
What do you think his NFL's video is going to be like?
Bro, he gets drafted, bro.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, dude.
That draft day video is going to be wild.
Christ, dude. But you know it's, like, coming. You know it's coming that signing day period is going to come, and these kids are going to be
crazy. Yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, my God, dude, of course.
The America's Got Talent themed, like, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, dude.
The Office themed. Who do you think signing that, like, bro?
Who do you think they have creating these videos, though?
Well, Bleacher Report does it for a lot of these guys.
I know Bleacher Report does it, but, you know, you think they're going to be doing it for commits?
No, and then if you go on YouTube and watch, like, a bunch of, like, highlight tapes, you'll see that these different highlight tape accounts, like, they have in their description, yo, hit me up here.
If you want to just
Highlight tapes for the college players, like, no. So shady guys stuff that are involved, already, like, just send me some clips
and videos.
Yeah, they got accounts on there making videos for them. Dope. He probably had that made for him by some Mizzou fan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So, and he probably just used that or something. But
or maybe someone from, like, the Mizzou program that works in media. Who knows?
Yeah. But I'm just not a fan.
I feel you. All right.
Rooting for him still, but
we'll see what happens. I mean, hopefully that would be cool to see how he kind of takes you know, the new role at Mizzou, because I mean, dude, he was in, you know, arguably the second best team in the nation.
Yeah, for sure, just doing it.
Winning.
He went there because he knew that they're open with passing and that they'd use him as a passer, and that's his chance to not only get his college career back on track, but also to prove to the scouts
that he's still GMs
and everything that he could play in the NFL.
Yep.
So other thing that happened this weekend, what else Heisman we got? Trophy winning Kyler Murray. I am not surprised. I'm so incredibly impressed. If you just look at this, what it is that he's done.
Yeah.
I'm also impressed with Lincoln Riley producing two Heisman Trophy quarterbacks, one replacing a former Heisman Trophy quarterback. Yeah.
That's insane.
Still prepared enough to have a better season than Baker Mayfield did last year.
And look how Baker's playing in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyler Murray's not going to go to the NFL. He's going to, you know, he just signed a $1 million deal to go play in the MLB, which is also ridiculous.
Hey, look, let me bring up a point real quick.
Guys,
Kyler Murray
is a freak athlete.
He's a freak athlete, and everything's like, oh, he won the Heisman. He's got Bama first round of the playoff. Like, if he balls against them and they pull out a win, or if he just shows that he has, you know, very positive play against Bama.
Yeah.
Does he consider the NFL? Like, is the NFL going to be interested in him enough? And does he just say that he's not going to play baseball?
The NFL's already interested in him enough at this point.
I don't know, man. I mean, look.
He's projected to be a first-round pick in the NFL. Okay,
but this is the way I think.
If he were to go.
Okay, but this is the way I think about it. I think Kyler Murray's first, I mean, you can't say it because we don't know him personally, obviously. But, like, I think Kyler Murray cared about football enough to where he got picked the 9th overall in the MLB draft by the A's. They told him he was good with him, and he like literally said he could just leave.
Yeah.
But playing that year where he was meant to be the starter this past season at Oklahoma was so important to him that he literally said, okay, I know you guys are going to give me the money, and I know I'm going to have to delay this a little bit, but I really want to play this year because that's how much football means to me. But I promise I'm going to go play for you after. Yeah, because in his mind,
for spring training.
In Kyler Murray's mind, he's like, I know my chances at playing football and lasting.
Longevity-wise.
Doing what I could do with baseball are just not realistic for me.
Because
I think that's what
my opinion. In my opinion, too, the road, obviously, when you're a first round, like top 10 pick in the MLB, dude, like you're pretty much set. Like you're going to, but remember, in the MLB, you got a whole farm system. And if you don't play well in the minors, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that just get lost in there. And when you're a top 10 pick, that doesn't obviously happen as much. But as a top 10 pick, bro, you're setting yourself up where you have to be good. Whereas he comes in and let's say he gets drafted first round in the NFL. He's on a team and he's already set. He's already on the team. He's playing. You know, he's getting first team reps.
Relax. I'm not saying
he went like becomes a starter right off the bat. But you know,
I'm not saying that he gets a start. I'm just saying that he's not going to be looked at as a player like that. I think he'd be like a Russell Wilson. Not because they have like overwhelming similarities in terms of the baseball, but like I think that Kyler Murray is very small and not like
5'11.
I mean, look, dude, okay, fine. Look at it like this. Baker Mayfield is a 5'11, 6 foot quarterback,
right? That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's doing well in the NFL, crazy thing anymore.
But you haven't heard the second part. Kyler Murray is, I think, like 5'10, maybe 5'9. Not that far off, you would think, but dude, watch Baker Mayfield on TV, then watch Kyler Murray on TV. They look like two completely different bodies,
yeah.
They might not be that far off in height, but in terms of like what Baker Mayfield's build and Kyler Murray's build,
it's very
like,
different. It's very different.
Russell Wilson's. Look at Russell Wilson, he looked like at Wisconsin, look at what Kyler Murray. It's different, bro. They have different body types. They're a lot bigger. They're a lot more built to overcompensate for the lack of size. Kyler Murray's not got that. He looks small. He's just a crazy college football player. He's an athlete. But he looks the small part of the 5'10 instead of the Baker Mayfield where he's
looks like on the bigger side.
He looks like the bigger side of this 5'11, 6 feet, and he could take some blows and stand in the pocket and stuff like that. But That's my whole thing on Kyler Murray. I think he's gonna take the baseball route, and if he does
I think he's gonna take the baseball route too. I'm just saying that the route that he's taking by going into the baseball is actually a tougher road than
baseball is like a mess when it comes to that. But
he's a top 10 pick, so he, you know, obviously should be fine.
But yeah, I mean, he's getting paid too. Exactly. He's going to get paid right signing as bonus his amateurism is over.
His signing bonus is already over $1 million to begin with.
Yeah, you know, so he's, I think he's going to take that route because I don't think he's too valuable to the NFL. The only way he goes to the NFL is if it's a team is willing to take a chance on him later in those rounds, and he's literally like, dude, I love football that much more than I love baseball. You don't
even think he's a top, what, three rounds?
God, man. I said third, probably. Okay. Like a third round guy, but he's not a first round guy. He's not a second round guy.
Interesting.
Probably like late third. He's like a Russell Wilson, except Russell Wilson was more valuable.
Yeah.
Because he was a pro style guy at Wisconsin.
So you're saying the fact that he's small, NFL scouts are just not even willing to gamble on a guy like him.
Well, like I'm not saying he's small. He's not a pro style guy. Like,
okay.
And again, people will be like, well, fine. Baker Mayfield wasn't a pro style guy. They played in the same exact system.
Right.
And he's also 6 feet, 5'11".
Yeah, because remember, Baker was the first pick of the draft. We talked
about it. His body type and the look of his body is a lot different than Kyler Murray's. He looks small.
And that's what I'm saying. So you think because Baker is just a bigger frame, looks on the bigger end compared to, because they're running the same system, like you said, and Kyler Murray, just because he's a little bit smaller, doesn't end in the first round. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, size, like, okay, yes, but they're different body types. Don't compare him to how Drew Brees looks. Don't compare him to how Russell Wilson looks.
I definitely see it. Like, when he's on the field, he just doesn't look like
Like Baker Mayfield, you find out, oh, bro, he's 5'11", right under 6", and you're like, damn, I was looking at him at like 6'1", 6 feet.
And I haven't seen enough Oklahoma games either, but the little that I have, I think he just moves really well, which makes him a better passer.
Maybe he could actually be like,
being in the pocket kind of passer. He could
be like but you need to be a pocket passer.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think to me, that was the biggest difference between him and Baker. Obviously, Baker moves well too, but Kyler Murray moves in a whole other
Baker Mayfield's like pocket, like throwing from the pocket and pocket awareness was like bad at his first 2 years at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Or his first year, it was pretty bad. If you watch his last 2 years at Oklahoma, the visible like improvement is insane. Yeah. Like by his senior year,
he's night and day, night and day.
It literally freshman his first year at Oklahoma to the Rose Bowl against Georgia is crazy. Night and day.
Yeah, no, they do a good job of developing the QBs. Exactly, there.
Lincoln Riley might be that new big time dude in football.
Football, yeah.
Like that's he's 30, back to he's back. 31.
And then who's up next at Oklahoma?
It was supposed to be a kid named Austin Kendall.
Okay.
Who was supposed to be the starter after Baker Mayfield, but Kyler ended up staying even though he got drafted. So he was probably pissed. Like, damn it. But it's Austin Kendall. I'm pretty sure he's still there. And I'm pretty sure
I'm sure they've probably recruited another guy in there.
Yeah, too. The number one quarterback in the country is committed to Oklahoma right now, but he got suspended for the entire season, his entire senior season in high school. I think it was an academic thing, but suspended, did not play this past senior season. Yeah,
that's embarrassing.
I forgot his name. He's from Arizona, but that's
Oklahoma. Didn't nothing about like decommitting?
No. They kept him.
They kept him?
Kept him on the board, and I guess he's signing early. But, yeah. Anyways, I'm not surprised that Kyler won the Heisman.
No. Not me either.
But the fact that one of the Heisman Trophy winner trustees on the board or whatever could not pronounce Tua's name.
Yeah, that was incredible.
When you're on the board for the Heisman,
I mean,
that you have had months to prepare for.
Yeah, you also know that Tua was going to be in there. It's not like you just found out Tua was going to be in
there. Dude, like, put someone that could say his name up there. What is the matter with you?
I don't get it.
You're a trustee on the Heisman?
The guy was clueless.
Or whatever.
He never even rehearsed a name with anyone.
Yeah. Or it's like he didn't watch football, college football the whole year, and he's on the board for the Heisman. What? You can't remember the kid's name?
That's rough.
He's like, Tua Tagli. Did I say that right? Tutavilla. I'm like, bro. Come on, that was that's a bad look on you.
A bad look on everyone in college football.
Because everyone knows who Tua is. It's not like Tua was like, oh my God, I can't believe he doesn't know my name. He's like, all right, I think enough people know my name.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point, you should know how to say my name. Holy shit, how did I not?
It's not like you haven't heard it a million times.
Yeah. So,
whatever. Come on, college football.
Heisman.
Or Heisman committee. Getting
people on the board. Come on. Anyways. Let's go into kind of more of the NFL things. News. I mean, there are a lot of things on the surface that happened. I mean, the Broncos broke down against the 49ers. The Steelers lost again. Baker Mayfield balled. Yes, that was all the, you know, let's dive into and the not won. So obvious things. Oh, yeah. Real quick on about crazy. The Dolphins. I'm pissed that that happened because now Dolphin Twitter is back again. And we're starting to hear the conversations of all the Dolphins fans. Yo, I think we could win. Oh, I mean, if they lose, we're just one out of the wild card. Oh, would you say that they're better than the Bengals? Bro, enough. They are still the Dolphins, and they lost that game to the Patriots. What happened at the end was a miracle of Miami. It was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
They lost.
It was a talented miracle, though.
Shut. You're lucky that it was like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
Yeah, dude, I saw that was so good, dude.
And he puts the sprinkler thing up. That was
so
up,
good. Yeah,
and that's what tripped Gronk. That's what tripped Gronk. And then how the Dolphins won. There's no, dude. We're one game out of the wild card. Oh, you don't know. Oh, they're better. Ravens than the
lose
Bengals.
This weekend.
Dude, get out.
What is it? Ravens lose this weekend. We win.
Stop. Just stop. I'm stopping right now. I'm trying to help you. And besides,
I didn't go to sleep last night. I'll try.
We'll shake on it right now.
Scenario.
If the Dolphins win out and go to the playoffs, or if they just go to the playoffs and they win the first round, I will move.
And win the first round.
I will move to the Florida Keys. I will move to the Florida Keys.
So how about they just make the playoffs?
Huh?
How about they just make the playoffs?
No. That's crazy. If they make the playoffs.
We have a 2% chance of making the playoffs. 2%.
Because that can happen. Because you don't know what the hell the NFL is bringing. What?
2%. That's it. That's what I'm saying. You got a 98% chance of it.
If they make the playoffs and they win the first round, right, I will pack my bags and my family has a little apartment down in the Keys. I will move down there for an unspecified amount of time.
Okay.
But I will move. I won't live here. I'll come back here when I need to for like certain events.
For food.
But I will not. We'll take a break from this podcast. I'm not.
I'm going to have to find a new co-host.
To hear what.
Or I may just move down there with you.
Dude, I'd have to delete my Twitter.
Yeah, no, like, it would be over for you.
I'd have to do it. Yo!
You would have to delete your cable system too, your local news stations.
I'm dreading it.
We're shaking on it here.
Did I not shake on it?
No, but you had to go through it first. No. All right. It's official.
God, brutal. Anyways.
Well, Miami Dolphins, I hope you hear that. You will ruin George Pola's life if you win.
Hey, it'll be doing me a favor. It'll make me take the sabbatical.
It'll be doing him a favor, even better.
Yeah, no.
And they win the first round. Put him out in the Keys.
They win the first round. I'm moving to the Keys.
So their first round matchup would probably be, is usually what? What is that? How is that? The number two seed?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably get like the Steelers again or something.
Oh, no, it's 5-6 would be the wild card game. So you're saying they have to win the wild card game, not the first round.
What? That is the wild card. That is the first round.
All right,
Yeah.
It is, yeah, technically.
So, yeah, let's move on from that because that's scary thoughts. Other big news, and this is coming. I don't know if we mentioned the date of this in the beginning, but we kind of got cut off. So now it is December 12th, and today there were two big things that also happened. We forgot to bring up Manny Diaz.
Yes, we did.
Manny Diaz from Temple. Yeah, Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator for the University of Miami, is leaving to take the Temple head coaching job.
Confirmed.
Yes, confirmed. And they were the number one passing defense at UM. So, again, another bad knock for the Canes.
For the Canes, yeah, that's a big loss on their part. Big hole to fill.
I don't want to get into too much. A lot of people think that the Temple job is unattractive because the school's not in the greatest area of Philly, from what I've heard, and the fact that they don't have their own on-campus stadium. They play at Lincoln Financial where the Eagles play, and it is always empty.
Empty, yeah.
But they are a good program, and here's a point that I want to make for all the people who think that that's a bad move for Diaz. He probably took this job because the last four coaches that have coached at Temple have gotten head coaching Power 5 jobs.
Wow.
So Jeff Collins, who was the head coach this past year for Temple and left now to get the Georgia Tech job. Wow. Then Matt Rhule, Steve Adazio, Al Golden at UM, actually.
Yeah.
That went to UM from there. So, I mean, the last four coaches that have coached at Temple have gotten major jobs at Power 5 schools.
Damn, that's crazy. That's why.
But, yeah, again, Canes, good luck in the Pinstripe Bowl. And
against Wisconsin. And all that, but, like, Jesus. Get ready to fill that hole.
It has been rough on you guys.
They've lost everybody.
Joe Flacco has officially been benched for Lamar Jackson. Don't like it.
I don't like it either, but it's just how the NFL works now. You get hurt. The backup comes in.
But it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I'm just saying. But it's worked. It's worked in the past. And how everyone goes.
It's worked in the past for certain. Okay, yeah, but for certain people.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying it's worked.
Like Dak Prescott came in when Tony Romo got injured. But Dak Prescott was like way more of a polished passer than Lamar Jackson was.
Who was it? Alex Smith? Was it Alex Smith?
Yeah, and then Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, and Colin Kaepernick.
So Colin Kaepernick is actually a relatable one to this because Colin Kaepernick, they were running him, using him. Like, I think he was still a better passer than Lamar Jackson is when he came in, but they were still using him. Like, they used him at Nevada, running zone reads here and there, and the pistol constantly. Yeah. Like, dude, yeah, that took him to the Super Bowl that year. And then the next year, people watched the film and they figured him out. Just like they figured out the Wildcat in Miami.
That's what I'm saying.
For like, they Lamar, figured him out, and he did not have anything close to the year that he had that year.
Yeah, for Lamar to last, he's going to have to learn a lot more than what he's doing now.
Exactly. Like, everyone's thing is like, oh, in-game experience. And look, no doubt that
there's nothing. But right now, it's working.
No. There's nothing that beats in-game experience. What it is that, yeah, it's working because it's just like.
It's simple. They have a good defense.
It's a new. Yeah, they got a good defense, and they've got like a new little style that some people aren't used to yet.
Yeah.
But like.
Because he has been successful running the ball.
So maybe for the Ravens, short term, yeah, it's worked. But in terms of how Lamar Jackson's doing, like.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to. They're playing him more towards what he needs to be getting away from than pro style play, which is what he needs to last and actually be successful. Like, it's not.
I don't. What my biggest question is not even the fact of Lamar Jackson. Is I thought Joe Flacco was playing well enough too that the Lamar thing shouldn't even be a discussion.
Here's another theory. It could be that Harbaugh is.
I think they're very high on him too. Think about how they trade. Well, think about this. They remember from the day of the draft, they traded up to go get him.
Well, like, I think this.
So they've always had intentions of like, this is our guy. You know.
Because what I think is that Harbaugh.
They traded up. Just to get Lamar.
Could be doing this in a way to save his job because if they miss out on the playoffs and Flacco's in, it'll look worse on him than if he's like, nah, we missed the playoffs, but I was busy trying to develop Lamar Jackson. So there's kind of a reason as to why things didn't pan out. But like, I already started the development with him. Like, why would you want to get me out of here? Like, would you really want to start all over again? Like, I'm doing this right now. That's why things maybe didn't work. So you just got to be patient. Yeah,
that's definitely a possibility. You think Harbaugh's on the hot seat?
Yeah, hell yeah. They missed the playoffs. There's going to be questions. But I think that he's playing Lamar now, and he's selling that developed idea like that I just talked about. He's a little safer because he could just sell the fact that he's doing that. But, like, dude, 27 carries against the Bengals. Like, a large percentage of those were designed.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think he ran for 72 yards against the Chiefs this past weekend.
Yeah, 13 carries, man.
Yeah.
Then against the Falcons, it was another like 12, 11 carries.
Yeah, it's insane. He got hurt again last weekend too, and then he came back in.
Bro, like, I just don't want it to be another RG3 scene. It's like the irony of that RG3 is actually his backup.
On that team, yeah.
Like, at that point, like, play RG3, man. Or like.
You can't, bro. You're the sixth seed. There's no way you're just going to go down to your third string quarterback.
Okay, but the thing is that I'm waiting for the game to where they figure it out how to defend this on the, and it's going to be like when Tebow, he broke out against the Steelers in the playoffs. He threw for over 300 yards. This is why he could do it. Oh, yeah? He goes to Foxborough, and Matt Patricia, they watched the film, they figured him out, and they lost 48-3, and Tim Tebow had like negative 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for that game, and then it's
so limited
like,
to what they're doing.
it's good that he's getting in-game experience, but, like, what is he doing in those games? 27 carries. That's what he was doing in college. That's not what he needs now. He
needs to do in the NFL, yeah.
Like, he's not
consistently teaching him the system and trying to apply it in a game. Yeah, it's like, not, we're just going to do what you're good at, and then
that's exactly. It. And you're the things that he needed to get away from more, you're kind of giving the opportunity to add to some of those bad habits that he needs to get away from.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not consistently taking
carries is way too many
the five, seven step drops and staying in the pocket. Bro, you're seeing them design quarterback reads where they're pulling a guard where he needs to keep it, or he's just running it purely, like, again, like a power play where you'll see pulling guards or something like that to where he needs to keep it. Or, dude, he's not throwing from the pocket ever. Like, he's thrown a few from the pocket. Like, look, I think he could be good, but, like, give him some time, man. And the thing is that
don't play RG3.
We forget about the fact that Flacco's healthy already. Flacco is active and could go into the game.
Yeah, that I think. But I think, in my opinion, Lamar will be on a short leash. I think if Lamar is having, like, a very subpar game and they're in the game and, like, down six or something like that in the third quarter, and Lamar just, the offense hasn't done anything all day. I don't think
it should come to that, though.
I think they'll put Flacco back in.
I think they should just put Flacco in.
Man. I agree, I agree.
He keeps taking the reps at practice. They've made a
decision that they...
Well, he could go into the game. He could go into the games. He got his in-game experience.
You think there's a matchup? Who do they play this weekend? You think maybe it's a matchup decision more than anything?
Oh, I forgot who they play this weekend.
Let me see.
Look it up real quick. But still, man, you know, like, he needs to be coached up still. He's not ready.
Yeah.
Like, and it's pretty obvious that he... By the way that they're using him. Because they know that he's not ready. That's why they're still playing him like this.
They are playing they're playing the Buccaneers.
So that's...
So... Who knows?
I mean, I don't know. I still don't agree with it, but...
So, who knows? Maybe they feel they can squeeze one more game out of Lamar, get Joe Flacco to 100%. Maybe Joe Flacco's not even 100% healthy.
It shows that he is, man. And, you know, I guess you never are when you have a bigger injury where you got to sit out and he's still out in season.
I mean, and then they got the Chargers next week. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they say, you know what, we're going to play and it's a primetime game. And then they save Flacco for next week.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, that's something, I guess, to monitor.
Yeah, man. We'll see.
We got anything else in the NFL that we wanted to talk about?
They're just obvious things. I think the Jags are ready to move on from Bortles.
Yeah.
The Jags are just terrible right now, in a very bad spot. You can't really blame the Redskins too much in terms of Mark Sanchez. Like, bro, both of those picks were not on him. Yeah. Like, they were off his receivers, tipped up. But... You got Josh Johnson coming in. It's safe to say the Redskins are done. The Eagles got robbed.
That was a tough one.
Of a win. That Dallas Goedert touchdown was a touchdown. The pass interference call, like, less than 5 yards. That was a blown call. They got robbed. Either way, Amari Cooper had, like, what, over 200 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. Killing it. Can't explain what happened with the Rams. They just got shut down offensively. The Bears' defense is legit. I mean, dude, what else is there big time? Like, Vikings still struggling, bro. The Vikings
are struggling. The Redskins are struggling with ever since they got their QBs hurt.
And it looks like Alex Smith is not going to be coming back to football.
Yeah. That sucks. But, yeah, I mean, the Giants technically still actually have a chance to make it to the playoffs, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That just shows how weak that NFC is right now.
Yeah, the NFC East. So, hey, bro, let's just transition into the first week of bowl picks. And, exactly. We should be good. So, first bowl, AutoNation Cure Bowl, Tulane versus UL Lafayette. I'll go Tulane. I don't know much about UL Lafayette. Tulane's going to be at.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we got Tulane.
I think they're just a bigger program.
Utah State's a 10-win team, 10-2 against North Texas in the New Mexico Bowl. I'm going to go ahead and say Utah State because they were actually in contention to win the Mountain West Conference, and they kind of just fell short, but a 10-win team.
Yeah.
North Texas got upset by, I think it was Charlotte, a few weeks ago, and can't really explain it. Or one of the weaker Conference USA teams.
Yeah, I think Utah
State's been Western Kentucky too. So I think Utah State's going to win that one.
Same. I think they've been playing well all year. Like you said, they're a 10-win team. They should be able to handle North Texas.
Yeah. Arizona, Fresno State in the Las Vegas Bowl. Okay. I think Fresno State's going to win this one. 11-2 team won the Mountain West over a good Boise State team in a, not a dominant fashion, but a pretty impressive fashion. So I've seen more of Fresno State as a good, solid football team. I think Arizona State, the times I watch them on TV, look a little undisciplined, kind of all over the place at the thing. So I got Fresno State.
I got Arizona State. I think Herm Edwards' team finally finds that big W that they've been looking for all year. I think they've been in a lot of close games and that they just like kind of lost last second. And I think they actually find a way to squeeze in a W there.
And their number one receiver actually declared for the NFL draft and will not play in the bowl game too. So Georgia Southern against Eastern Michigan in the Camellia Bowl, which is, I think, in Alabama, but Eastern Michigan, I don't think, has faced any triple option teams this year. Georgia Southern is a triple option team. I think Georgia Southern wins this because Eastern Michigan, I mean, they have a lot of time to prep for it, but
I don't know. I feel like if you've never played a triple option team or you're not very familiar with it, it's very hard to stop.
So, yeah. We both got Georgia Southern in that one. Middle Tennessee State against App State. App State won the Sun Belt. Middle Tennessee dropped the Conference USA Championship game to UAB. I'm going to go App State because App State is very good, even though they just lost their head coach.
Did you see that?
And this is the New Orleans Bowl, by the way.
Did you see that press conference? We don't have to get super into it, but of the head coach from Middle Tennessee, he was like crying after the bowl game.
After the championship?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
You didn't see that? I'll show it to you later. He got really into it. But yeah, I'll take App State in that game.
Yep. And then UAB on Tuesday versus Northern Illinois NIU at Boca Raton Bowl. I'm going to go ahead and say UAB because they're a 10-win team also. Conference USA champions. They got the momentum. And I don't know much about NIU this year.
Me either.
Besides the fact that they are 8-5.
And I agree. I think UAB has been playing well all year.
So you got UAB?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then San Diego State versus Ohio in the Frisco, Texas Bowl. I'm going to go San Diego State because San Diego State has another beast running back there, actually, after Rashawn Penny. And they seem like more the dangerous team. I don't know if you remember Poppy White at Ohio, who was a good player that we brought up a few weeks ago a few months ago.
Poppy White.
But I'll go San Diego State. And I'm a huge fan of the fact that they're the Aztecs.
Yeah, I agree. I think as San Diego, who was it they were playing? They were playing
San Diego State against Ohio.
Ohio, yeah, for sure.
And then we got Marshall against USF in the Gasparilla Bowl.
USF. I got USF in that game.
Marshall's down to their fourth running back, USF.
Who did play well, though,
yeah,
last game, but I agree.
Yeah, and then just a few quick ones. FIU against Toledo in the Bahamas Bowl. Let's go Panthers.
Pause up, baby.
Western Michigan against BYU in the Idaho Potato Bowl. I think BYU is going to kind of be the home team there since that's closer to Provo, Utah. And I don't know much about Western Michigan. BYU is going to win that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just a better program again.
Hawaii versus LA Tech in the Hawaii Bowl. I'm going to go Hawaii, Cole McDonald, John Ursua.
We've been riding Hawaii all year long. We got to go with Hawaii.
Yeah. Memphis against Wake Forest. Memphis has Daryl Henderson, but he just declared for the NFL draft, so he won't be playing.
He won't be playing. Hmm.
That's kind of a big blow. Wake Forest still led by a true freshman. Or actually, no, he got hurt, so I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for them. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that Memphis is going to do it.
Same. I mean, that's going to hurt not having Henderson there, but I think – or what is it, Hankerson? What is it?
Henderson.
Henderson. Yeah. I think they still will pull off there.
And then Houston against Army. Houston is prepared because they played Navy because they're in the same conference, so they have seen the triple option. They are without Derek King and Ed Oliver, their two best players. Army's kind of on a roll. I'm going to go ahead and say that this is going to be a really tight one, and Army wins this one.
It's definitely going to be a fun game to watch, but I think, like you said, I think Houston missing their two best offensive players are just
Ed Oliver's on defense.
On defense. Oh, yeah, that's right. But they're missing starting QB. Yeah. So I think Army takes it off.
And then finally, the Dollar General Bowl. Buffalo against Troy. Buffalo's got Jackson, that quarterback, the 6'7 guy that we've shouted him out a few weeks ago. But I think Troy's a really good program. They had a really big win against a fairly proven towards the end of the season Nebraska team at Nebraska. They know how to win the big games, and they've been in the spotlight before. I'm going to go Troy.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, and then finally, that's the first week of bowl season. There are plenty more bowls
to come, yeah.
Trust me. And then now let's go through some very, very fast NFL picks. Chargers at Chiefs, Thursday night. I'm going Chiefs, Arrowhead at night.
I think the Chiefs finally lose a game, and I think the Chargers sneak another big W in.
Okay. I got Chiefs. Saunders got Chargers. Texans at Jets. I'm going to go Texans. They bounce back after they're pissed off after a shitty game against the Colts.
Yeah, same.
Browns at Broncos. I'm going to go Broncos. They bounce back. They're very pissed at home. I think the Browns are not going to be able to handle that environment. I'll go Broncos.
It's going to be a good game. I'll take Broncos, too. Bounce back.
Raiders at Bengals. I think the Bengals can't, even though I don't care that the Raiders, I think it was a fluke that they beat the Steelers. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Bengals won't let me down that bad.
I really hope not. But I'm going to go with this.
Of course, you're going to go with the Raiders.
With the Bengals.
Oh, hey, let's go. Let's go. Dolphins, Vikings. Sorry, bro. I don't want to have to go Vikings, bro.
Come on. We know we're winning out.
Nah, they're not going to win up there in that stadium. That's a pissed off Vikings team, too.
That is a pissed off Vikings team. But that is a crazy inspired Dolphins team.
Right? Oh, my God.
It's a magic season.
All right, you got the offense. Okay. Packers, Bears. Packers at the Bears. I'm going to go ahead and say the Bears are going to win this one. They're going to be at Soldier Field. It's going to be loud. Packers are in the transition period right now. Bears. Lions, Bills. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Bills beat the Lions in Buffalo.
Interesting.
Josh Allen's been looking a little dangerous, and the Lions, who knows what the hell they are. So, yeah, I'll go Bills.
Yeah, might as well.
Bills?
It's where, in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buccaneers at Ravens. Ravens are going to win this one, I think, because they're going to be at home, and they, I think this the Bucs is a must-win for them.
Sneak it in. I think Jameis has, like, a big game. Damn, you're going
upset?
I'm going upset.
In Baltimore, damn.
Yeah.
I am a fan of that.
I think Jameis has a good game.
I like that pick. Cardinals at the Falcons. Both two terrible teams. Falcons win this one at home, though. You got Falcons?
Yeah.
Titans at Giants. I think the Titans need to win this one big time. And the Giants.
The Giants are balling, right? I hate to say that. I mean, they're like so irrelevant. Yeah,
they might not have Odell again this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'll go Titans.
I don't know. They won last week without Odell.
Who you got?
I got Giants.
All right. Skins at Jaguars, another Battle of the Bads game. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Jaguars are going to win this because they're going to be at home and the Redskins are an absolute disaster.
I
was going to say,
I think the Redskins are just so destroyed right now. You got to go with the Jaguars here.
Yeah. And then Cowboys at Colts. I think the Colts had a very impressive win over the Texans. I think the Cowboys haven't been tested. I mean, yeah, they beat the Saints, whatever. Hey, it's going to be a really good game. I got Colts, though.
That Cowboys defense is good, man.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think, God, I really don't want to pick either one of these teams to win.
Pick, bro.
But I got the Cowboys.
That's a good pick, too. Seahawks at 49ers. I think the Seahawks are also in must-win position.
Yeah.
And I think the 49ers pulled off a good one against, the Broncos this past week. But I think the Seahawks are on too much of a...
I think the Seahawks are on a high, but I think 49ers are a scary team that can just, like, come in and win.
Yeah, but I still think Seahawks.
But I think the Seahawks win in a close game.
Yeah. Patriots at Steelers. I think the Patriots are going to win this one.